This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Well, 25 minutes to 10 and we change gears and focus, but still keeping with the theme of elections, political parties, political systems. I am joined on the line by Robin Pasensi from My Vote Counts. Robin, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me on the show.
I know you've been working as My Vote Counts on this for a very long time, litigating all the way up to the Constitutional Court, particularly on PAYA and its inability to make sure that, you know, political parties are mandated to keep records of their funders and avail these to the public when requested to do so. But of course, as you were busy with that litigation, there was the process of the political party funding bill then, which is now an act. And President Ramaphosa has finally signed the implementation date, which is 1 April 2021. How have you received this news and what is the next step for My Vote Counts?
I mean, I think you've just already given a brilliant introduction there. I just want to say that on the 21st of January, which was last week, Thursday, it was actually the two-year anniversary from the signing of the PPFA into law by President Ramaphosa. So we've actually been waiting 2 full years to be given a date of implementation for the PPFA. So, of course, at MVC, we have welcomed this news with open arms. I mean, it's a really historic moment to have this kind of legislation finally being given a date that it will be enforced. Because with the PPFA now being given this implementation date, we have a piece of legislation that will compel political parties to actually say where the sources of both private and public funding comes from. So, yeah, we are very happy with that news.
But what is the next step then for you? I mean, I suppose there will be some need for voter education where this is concerned. How does this particular act empower citizens? What do you foresee being your next point of advocacy where this is concerned?
I mean, I'll start with sort of what our work is as MVC. I think it would be foolhardy to assume that just because we have an implementation date of the 1st of April, you know, now our work has kind of ended. That's not the case. What we will continue to do as civil society, as MVC in particular, is now we still have to monitor the political space. We still have to push. We still have to advocate for compliance. We know that the Act compels political parties to disclose the sources of their funding, but we still need to take our role seriously to make sure that there is that level of accountability and transparency, because what we are trying to push for is that ordinary South Africans, that our voters have more information at their disposal when they vote. And you spoke about what does this actually mean going forward for South African citizens. What this means is that now they have a piece of legislation where they can hold their political parties to account to make sure that they are acting always in their best interest, that they are not going to be accepting funding from private sources, private entities that may exert sort of undue influence on the way in which they operate. So, I mean, at NVC, part of what we do is not just sort of litigation, as you mentioned earlier, but it's also education and advocacy. So we will continue to put that sort of right at the core of what we do, is that this needs to be put out there. And I think that's it's a very important point that you're raising, that also South Africans need to be excited as we are, because this is really important. This is a key moment for them in exercising their democratic right to vote and making sure that their political parties are, in fact, representing them and their best interests at all times.
Now, Robin, we expect the IEC, which is tasked with administering this particular act, to issue the final regulations. They did indicate that they've done all the work, they've consulted widely, and of course yourselves had made inputs and submissions on those regulations. How happy are you with the regulations that we anticipate the IEC to finally publish this week and make official as the instrument that regulates this act?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, the IEC will make the final regulations available, hopefully by the end of this week. They had mentioned that in their statement that they released on Friday. So we will have a sort of a more official stance on that once we know that as well. But we have been part of the discussion, and I think we remain in full support for the important role that the IEC plays in how the PPFA will be rolled out, how it will function, because key to the success of the PPFA is the IEC's oversight and compliance mechanism, which includes the administering of the two funds that is established by the PPFA, and that's the Representative Political Party Fund and also the Multi-Party Democracy Fund. So, yeah, we stand very clearly behind them on that. But again, we will wait to see what the final regulations are as they've been finalized by the IEC, which we hope will come at the end of the week.
Now, you are aware, Robin, I mean, after the Constitutional Court judgment last year, June, allowing or paving the way for independent candidates to participate in national and provincial elections. In fact, some people have now been saying, well, the PPFA is already unconstitutional, which is of course untrue, because the political system that we have at the moment is still that of proportional representation. But as my vote counts, have you started thinking around amendments to that legislation to ensure that independent candidates, whatever shape or form it will take, but that independent candidates, their funding sources would have to be disclosed as well? I was just on the line with Musi Maimane before talking to you, and One SA Movement has taken the decision to support independent candidates at local government elections. And even there, there's no regulatory mechanism for funding sources of independent candidates. Do you see this as a gap in the legislation? And are you thinking around this issue in terms of how do we probably close that gap?
No, absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head. That is an area that MVC in particular, it's not something that we have let go unnoticed. With the PPFA, and you mentioned as well with PIA, the Promotion of Access to Information Act, it's important that we recognize that we can't let sort of a loophole of independent candidates that not be considered. So that is an area that MVC, we will continue to push for, monitor, evaluate. But our primary concern is first and foremost to actually see the PPFA be implemented and to see how this works with our represented political parties. That's not to say, of course, that we don't look at how this affects independent candidates, but I think we do need to take first things first. We actually need to see the PPFA being implemented, how this works, and then concurrent to that, how can we advocate and push for the same kind of thing for our independent candidates as well.
Can you just remind us quickly, Robin, what are the consequences for political parties as per the Act if they do not adhere to this piece of legislation?
So, as I said, the IEC obviously has compliance function over that. So the IEC can institute fines for non-compliance, and they specify in the Act what those amounts are as well. And they can withhold funding, so either from the Multi-Party Democracy Fund or from the Represented Political Party Fund. So at the moment, those are the clearest forms of sort of check and balance if you are not complying with the Act. You will either be fined, and that fine amount will increase if you are sort of seen to be in non-compliance more than once. And you can also be withheld funding from those two funds as well.
Now, ahead of the 2019 national and provincial elections, of course, My Vote Counts tried to just write to political parties and say, well, just tell us, who are your funding sources? And everybody was very reluctant to do that. Do you, I mean, it's one thing, as you said, the legislation kicking in. It's another political parties complying with it. In a conversation I listened in where Simon Mabulo was being interviewed on Newsroom Africa, he indicated, in fact, that they have even trained political parties on the online system that they are going to use for filing and all of that. Do you foresee some reluctance, particularly with parties disclosing the big funders? And if you do see that reluctance, what work needs to be done to motivate the private sector in this country and abroad to actually be more transparent in its dealings in the political space? Because at times it is the funder or the donor that actually says, I don't want to be known.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're mentioning is really the thing that comes at the crux of the matter, because what we are talking about is actually a total mind shift. We are trying to institute a different way of practicing politics. And I think that will involve quite a few growing pains. I don't think we can expect that initially from the get-go this is going to be an easy process. And I think that's what I was alluding to earlier about come the 1st of April, that is where MVC and other civil society organizations will have to do, as we have done in the past, is sort of raise the alarm bells, because that's really what we do in civil society. So you know what? We have this thing here. We see you trying, but in this space, maybe not so much, and you need to try harder here. Because, as I said, the PPFA is going to compel political parties to disclose. But that doesn't mean that we should just leave that. That should, you know, that's just going to make everything better. We need to continue to apply pressure and to call attention to where we think there is an abuse of power or authority, especially when it comes to donors being reticent in saying what this is for. And I think just on that point with the PPFA, it's actually very clear about what your donor can be giving money for, and it's only for political party purposes. It actually goes into detail and says, for example, it's for skills development, education, those kind of things. So it's trying to close the gap on those spaces where, for example, private money can exert undue influence on the political process, and donors can sort of withhold money because they don't want to be known. And I think that should actually be the area of concern, that if your donor doesn't actually want to be known, that's a problem. And that's something that we should be shedding light on. Because if all you are giving money for is purely for political purposes, it should be an open and transparent process.
Absolutely. Robin, before I let you go, Studuzo Mncwabe is actually writing to me on Twitter on something that has become very contentious, and that is intra-party leadership contests. And we know this has been, you know, propelled into the public domain, particularly by the CR17 campaign funds, which were regulated into a particular vehicle. Not to say those who contested President Ramaphosa in the ANC did not have their own funding sources, but his campaign actually opened bank accounts and there's paper trail. How do we close this gap? Because the politicians, when they talk in parliament, they say there's no legislative framework, but it's probably something that we need to talk about. But of course, they're not going to go there voluntarily.
No, absolutely. I mean, in your last sentence, you just said it there. The work of civil society then is to make known that even if you are reluctant, even if you don't see the issue there, we have to push it. And I think MVC was part of that with the PPFA and indeed with PIA as well. So, I mean, as I said earlier, it's not as though one isn't aware of the shortcomings that may be attached to the PPFA, especially when it comes to, as you said, inter-party elections for party leadership. Yeah. How are individuals actually funded there? So that is another area that, again, will not go overlooked, unnoticed. So we sort of, you know, you do it in a checklist. So we've got this down. We're going to we need to move on and on and on. These things don't end. So, yeah, I think the PPFA not yet covering that. However, it still goes some way into pushing for greater transparency. And I think we shouldn't overlook that or ignore that.
No, absolutely. It is a groundbreaking development in our legislation. Robin, let me thank you very much for joining us here on Power Perspective.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.